Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
I will start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. And there are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Gerard, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. I'm Gerard. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Gerard. Hi, Gerard.
Welcome to everyone who's listening. My drinking story started like a lot of people that I've met in AA. My first experience with alcohol was around 11. I drank a bottle of vodka. I vomited copious amounts of vomit and in blackout. I then tried to vacuum it up to hide it with a Tellus vacuum cleaner. The Tellus vacuum cleaner didn't survive, and it certainly put me off the taste of vodka for a number of years. But I found that in my drinking, that every time I drank to blackout. But in my early years, I didn't have the opportunity as much as I would have liked to have done. But every time I did, I drank to blackout. And, you know, and the consequences of it, I found that I had an allergy to alcohol. And invariably, the allergy manifested itself by me breaking out in handcuffs. Every time I drank, there were consequences of my drinking. I found myself in front of judges. And I was able to spin them a story about my drinking. You know, I have a disease which I was incapable of being honest with myself, but I was certainly incapable of being honest with anyone else. And you know, I thought that my problems were to do with my upbringing. You know, I'd had a pretty hard life. I'd grown up in a social welfare home, and I thought that a lot of the trauma justified my incredibly bad behaviour that I did every time I drank, and often when I wasn't drinking. That got me out of trouble with judges for a little bit, but invariably they started to see through that, and they encouraged me to go to AA, and so I went to AA at the my first meeting was I was about 19. I saw these people that I had absolutely no connection to. You know, they were different than me, and that typified my recovery for many, many years. I thought I was fundamentally unique. You know, I had this ability to manipulate everything, and I thought I was different. You know, every time I drank, that was the same result, but you know, I thought it would be different the next time I drank, and the next time, and the next time. And drinking and drugging took me to the most horrendous place. And you would think that would be enough. I ended up in a foreign jail facing a significant sentence. I was lucky enough that I wasn't convicted, and I thought I'd hit my rock bottom. But I found that, you know, my problem is a disease of forgetfulness, and I can forget and justify that this time it'll be different. And my drinking ended really when... you know, I can't remember my last drink, and that's a kind of a scary thing for me. My last drink involved hallucinations and being admitted into hospital and having a seizure in hospital and going into a coma. And I awoke with this amazing sense of desperation that, and finally that lingering thought that somehow that I was different, that next time would be different, that I could drink without consequences had gone. And But I still had this overwhelming obsession with alcohol, but I'd heard the solution from other people who'd got sober, and I came back to AA absolutely broken, and they told me that they had a solution, but it involved some honesty and some action on my part. And for the first year of sobriety, it was really the fear of the first drink that kept me sober. It was greater than the sum of all my other fears. But the people that I met in AA, they guided me through, and they loved me to, you know, to sobriety. And that was 4 years ago. And the reality is that if anyone ever tells you that recovery is easy, they're probably not an alcoholic. You know, recovery wasn't easy for me. In the horrendous state that I got into, I still had that obsession to drink, and sometimes it wasn't. They told me, can you just not drink for a day at a time? And, you know, I was still pretty dishonest. I was like, of course you can't. I can stop drinking for a day. But, you know, in those early days, it wasn't a day at a time. It was like 5 minutes at a time. But I had this crew of people who had my back the whole time, and they just encouraged me to keep coming back, to be honest and tell them how I was feeling. And I went to a lot of meetings because there I relieved the uncomfortable feelings that I was feeling, and I had a team of people around me that knew how I was thinking, and I just kept coming back. They told me that I had to do certain things. You know that obsession with self that I had wasn't relieved quickly. Everything that I did in recovery, I did through clenched teeth, but I started to get some real benefit from having done those things, despite not wanting to do it. And slowly, I did the steps, and that was really hard for me. You know, I had to get on my knees and pray to a God that I had a massive resentment against. You know, he hadn't got back my daughter that I'd lost when I was drinking. He hadn't freed me from police cells. He hadn't given me back the things that I thought that I was entitled to. But I learned to pray to a God that I didn't really understand, that I had a resentment against. And eventually, you know, I started to have a deeper connection with this higher power, because I saw him working in me where I didn't think that it was even possible for me to stay sober for one day. And yet here I was, like a month up, you know, 6 months up, a year up, all of those sorts of things. And I did the steps, and then they told me that if I was to keep this thing that I'd been given, that I had to give it back. And that seemed really, really unfair to someone as selfish as me. But I started to get involved in AA, and I started to share at treatment centres to help other people to take them through the steps. And suddenly people were coming up to me and saying, you know, Jared, you seem to have changed, you know. And I hadn't actually noticed that change in me at all, and life just got better. And today I don't go to meetings because I'm obsessed with alcohol anymore. You know, I go to meetings now because left to my own devices, that self-will and that obsession with self can come back. And I go to meetings now to treat the consequences of being me. The reality is that I didn't stop drinking to have a miserable life, you know. I've gone through, you know, stages where some of the promises that it talked about in the big book have started to happen to me. You know, sometimes I felt that I deserved more, but my, you know, those promises are reflective of my life today. You know, I went from someone who was unemployed and unemployable to having my own business now, that I have, I'm you know, I haven't got back the relationship that I had with my my daughter. She's now eight, but I've got a son on the way at the moment. I have a relationship with a person that I can actually be honest with now, and my life is just amazing. You know, a lot of people who saw me at my worst in AA, you know, when I came back and I was so broken, described me as being a miracle. And, you know, and that's not true, you know. A miracle certainly happened for me. I see miracles working in the rooms all the time. And that miracle was available for anyone who's brave enough to walk in the rooms of AA. And but the real miracle and the real bravery and the courage is to keep coming back the day after and the day after and the day after. And I promise you that your life will change and will get better. Thanks for letting me share, Steve.
Thanks, Jared. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we have members of our fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Emma. Do you want to share?
Sure. Thanks, Steve. Hi, I'm Emma. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Emma.
Hi. My alcoholism hit me hard and fast. If I had known then what I know now, maybe I could have prevented it. But they say nothing happens by mistake. When I look back, my drinking had always been quite different from others around me. I would get drunk 90% of the time I drank, and my friends would not always drink to get drunk. I would either black out or fall asleep, or both. I can see now that I had an allergy to alcohol. It did not agree with me, yet I loved what it did for me. I had low self-esteem, and it gave me confidence. I could go up and talk to people when otherwise I wouldn't have been able to. I loved the euphoric feeling and found it all a way to escape. I could go out with my friends on a Friday night till 3 or 4 in the morning, and my friends would be hungover the next day. Usually I was fine and want to do it all over again the next night when they did not. I did this for 10 years or more before, and then got married and started a family. My partner also enjoyed drinking, but his drinking was quite different to mine. He would rarely get drunk. After I had my fourth child, I became alcoholic. I just found life got really hard and I wasn't coping the way I used to, and got really overwhelmed, and I felt I couldn't cope unless I had a drink. I was drinking most days, but only in the evenings. Not long before, I was drinking 1 to 2 bottles a night. My partner could see it was becoming a problem. When we would go out, I would either fall asleep or need to be carried out of places. He said we needed to cut down and not drink during the week. I found this difficult, so would buy my alcohol and consume it before he got home, and he would think that I wasn't drinking when I was. I got away with this for a while, and then he noticed I was drinking and found it strange that I was drinking alone. Often I would lie and say that I hadn't been. I didn't see that I was on a slippery slide. I didn't know alcoholism was a progressive disease, and I also very addictive. I lived this way for a couple of years, and then one day I chose to take a drink in the morning. I had been experiencing crippling anxiety and was pacing the house trying to escape what I was feeling. I felt I was experiencing panic attacks. This was where everything began to change for me. After taking the drink, I soon felt more in control and thought, this is great. Why do I need to wait till the evening to drink? Before long, I was drinking all day, every day, and I kept it hidden for quite some time. And I would lie and say, when people could smell it, I would say it was from the night before. And I would have, I would have stashes of cask wine around the house where I could sneak and drink at my pleasure. I soon found myself getting major anxiety and went along to the doctor and was prescribed some lorazepam to relieve the anxiety. It worked for the week's course I had been given, but I wasn't able to get any more. Instead, I was advised to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I went along and struggled to say I was an alcoholic. I listened for the similarities and I heard a lot that resonated with me. I went and did a rehab for 8 weeks because my family wanted me to. I was in huge denial and couldn't see myself not drinking anymore. I was doing it to shut everyone else up. I picked up a month after graduating. My family were horrified. In the next year, I would become a chronic alcoholic. I upgraded from wine to gin as it had more of an effect and people couldn't smell it on me. I became really dishonest and lying to everyone about how much I was drinking. I slowly became dependent on alcohol and couldn't get by without it. During the night, I would wake up and go into withdrawal. I would go to sleep and black out and wake up about 2 a.m. in the morning with my hands and feet tingly and numb with a racing heartbeat. I had insomnia and was unable to go back to sleep. I would lay there promising to myself I would not drink tomorrow and that this needed to stop. I wished I didn't need to drink at all. The next morning my hands would be shaking and I would need a cup of wine to get up and face the day and to even get my children off to school. I would drop them off and come home and drink. I would be obsessed about drinking. It consumed me and my day. It's all I could think about. My family tried everything. They took my wallet, checkbook off me, and even my car keys. I then raided my kids' piggy banks and searched my partner's pockets and in the back of couches just to find loose coins. If I could find $8, it was like having a win in the lotto, as I could buy a bottle of wine. My family were at their wits' end and didn't know what to do. I was in a cycle of needing to drink every day and on a wait list of going into a medical detox at Pittman House. I would come out and it wouldn't be long before I'd pick up again, as I believed I would be able to control it this time. Things would be different. I would think I won't drink every day. I didn't know then that one drink was too many and 1,000 is never enough. I didn't have any defence against my first drink. Once I took the first drink, that mental obsession would start all over again and the cravings would begin. In the last 18 months of my drinking, I did 6 medical detoxes, and every time I picked up again, my drinking would take me right back to where I left off. Always worse, and my cycle of needing another detox got closer and closer. I was now in a crisis. My GP called SIFS to report my out-of-control drinking. My partner and family had an intervention, and they said I needed to leave the house and clean up, or the kids would have to leave. I agreed to go. I went to the Salvation Army Bridge Rehab and then on to Higher Ground, which taught me that this is an inside job. It wasn't stopping drinking that was so hard. It was staying stopped. And to do this, I had to look at why I was drinking, what I was trying to escape from. I had a few issues from my childhood, which I'd been trying to escape from and been stuffing the feelings down for years. I learned it was time I needed to work on myself and deal with the trauma and grief and abandonment I had been suppressing all these years. I am grateful today that I hit rock bottom because it enabled me to surrender and come to my knees and be given the gift of desperation to change who I was and what I had become. I admitted I was powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable. And I also came to believe in a power greater than myself. So I decided to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. My life today has changed completely. I believe I've had a spiritual awakening. My obsession to drink has been removed, and this is an absolute miracle. I have not done this alone. I have been recovering now since November last year. I have a sponsor and attend 4 to 5 AA meetings a week. I have attended various recovery groups through CADS and Care NZ. I am practicing a 12-step recovery program through Alcoholics Anonymous and using the steps as a way of living today. They have taught me to be honest, considerate, tolerant and caring. I now look out of myself instead of focusing on me all the time. I like to do things for others instead of obsessing about what I want and what I need. I'm a much happier person today, and I'm grateful for everything in my life and just the simple things. I am a present mother to my four children and participate in all their activities. The last school holidays was the first holidays in over a year where I've had my children in my care. We had a great time together, and we climbed Rangitoto, went to the beach, the movies and the hot pools, and just hung out. I didn't have any urge to drink. I had minimal anxiety, but I have tools now to manage it as it crops up without needing to reach out for alcohol. I now know the feelings will pass, and I reach out to other people now instead of being afraid to share how I'm feeling, so I no longer bottle it all up. I get out to a meeting, out to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and listen to other people's sharing. And that gives me relief from self. And I will hear their message and what others are experiencing, similar things to me, and that I'm not alone. We can be there for each other. If things get too overwhelming for me now, I will reach out and ask for help. Picking up a drink will not help anything. It will make things worse. I'm truly grateful for my life today, and I'm loving being alcohol-free. For those out there that have heard any similarities or that are struggling with their alcohol use, I would suggest that you Google Alcoholics Anonymous and have the courage to go along to a meeting and just listen out for the similarities. And there are other people that are like us that are going through the same struggles. And I just look at it one day at a time. I have a prayer in the morning where I ask my higher power to have an alcohol-free day today and alcohol-free thoughts. And I just sometimes just take it an hour at a time, even half a day at a time, and then get to bed at night. Not picking up a drink is an absolute miracle. And I do the same again the next day. Thanks for asking me to share, Steve.
You're welcome. Thank you, Emma.
Thanks, Emma.
You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Matt. Do you want to share?
Thank you, Steve. My name's Matt, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Matt.
it's a privilege to be here today and to experience such heartfelt sharing. Sometimes I struggle to get the words out in a meeting, and it's always an encouragement for me to be able to hear other people's experience and how it's going for them right now, because I've always experienced myself quite a lot of, I guess, anxiety around being amongst other people. My first drink was handed to me by a family member, and it was explained that it was going to be a really good experience, but also it was like a counterculture act, and that there was a level of excitement and naughtiness about it that I hadn't really experienced before, because I was quite a good boy, I think. But I was transgressing for the first time, and I found a lot of pleasure in that the act itself, and I think I carried that throughout my drinking career, because I would do a lot of things that were unacceptable. Even amongst my peers, people would look at me like I was crazy. Why did I do that? And I didn't have an answer for that, but I just knew that oblivion was a great destination. I pursued that for many, many years. I lived a double life, a life as a tradesperson, as a husband and a father. But I kept returning to drink. I could go for a period of time where I didn't need to have a drink. I convinced myself that I had control of my life, although I was aware that alcohol was a major part of it. But inevitably, I'd have that first drink again. And that first drink might be the drink of that day, but in a very short space of time, I'd return to my binging lifestyle, and my attempts to keep that separate from the rest of my life. It didn't work very well because everybody knew I drank. I'd lie about the amount that I drank to those people that were concerned, and sometimes inflate the amount that I drank to people that seemed to be more accepting of the way that I carried on. When I hit my 30s, I realised I was an alcoholic. I had a feeling about alcohol that I never experienced with anything else. You know, I could compare it to love, I suppose. But it was a really uncomfortable feeling knowing that I really wanted to drink and there wasn't much that I could do about it. I didn't have a clue what to do about it, really, and I pretty quickly accepted that I was an alcoholic and that I was going to drink. Once I did that, I could plan my life a lot better and developed a system of drinking and working. I had other obsessions as well. And it was interesting to be able to incorporate alcohol into the way that I practiced life. I tried AA. My wife was tired of the way that I was. I couldn't say that I was, but I tried AA for a few months. But I wasn't looking for anything from AA. And I soon let it slip. And it took another 20 years for the problems in my life to assume a magnitude where I had to accept that the problem was too big for me to deal with by myself, and I was chased into AA by a fear of what I'd become. It took me quite a while to lose the sense of confusion and find a direction, but I'm lucky I met a lot of people with a lot of good messages in AA. It's all very similar. Don't have the first drink and accept that life is unmanageable with alcohol. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Matt. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We've had members of our fellowship in this morning, and they've been sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to alcoholicsanonymous.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area. We have about 140-odd meetings a week. Also there you'll find a list of meetings right throughout the whole country as well. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works. And this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area, and that works right throughout the whole country. So we'll be back here again next Sunday on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.